In Malawi, I would greet you by saying morning pingwonse, and then everyone would say zikomo, which is thank you. Yeah, good morning, and everyone would say zikomo. In a lot of our groups, can you hear me?
Yep.
In a lot of our groups, in our trainings, in our camps, and things that God has had us involved in Malawi, sometimes the weather's really hot, and no air conditioning or anything like that. So me and Boston's, in order to snap people out of their slumber, or like if they're just like really tired, we'll have certain sayings that will kind of wake them up, the whole group up. And it's very back and forth in our communication. So this morning, pretend you're in Malawi, Africa, and we're going to take you there by a few just verbal things that you do. So one thing that I always do is I say, who is worthy, to the crowd, and everyone shouts back at me at the top of their lungs, if they believe it, Jesus, right? Who is worthy?
Jesus!
Who is worthy?
Jesus!
I'm going to blow the roof off this place. Sweet. So I might pull that out at another point during the morning. Boston has got his things that he says. First, I just wanted to thank you as a church. Thank you for your involvement in the ministry in Malawi that we're going to hear about from Boston. Thank you also for you guys have helped us hugely in transitioning to starting the work here in America. I think of Maddie Simonson and Spears, you guys coming out. You guys are a part of the first work among these refugee peoples here. Thank you. Thank you for allowing them to come. Thank you for supporting us. It is just such a blessing, and we love you guys. And it was so encouraging between the services. Me and Boston, it's just so many of you saying, we pray for you. We pray for you. We need that. The Spirit of God is moving through your prayers. So thank you for that. Please continue to do so. Carve out that time to be on your knees on behalf of people who don't know Jesus. So who is worthy?
Jesus!
Well done. Thanks also for helping us with the apartment set up for the refugee family, the Norries. Fossens was with me, with the man, Mr. Norrie, yesterday, and just they're getting settled, and that's just been a great opportunity to build trust and friendship with people who are very different and just gone through really, really tough things. So thank you again for all of your help and sacrifice and helping transporting things and everything. Yeah, I wish each one of you could go into their home and have a meal with them. It's absolutely lovely. So just transitioning to start thinking about Malawi, because that's what we want to hear what God is doing. Fee Fawcett's and the team in Malawi. And just so you know how it got started, back in 2011, God called me and my wife, and little Lizzie when she was one, to pack up our things and to go to Malawi and pray that the Lord would do something. We had no idea what he had in store. And we had Faustin's already prepared. You're going to hear his side, but we met in our first week in Malawi, and we just hit it off. We were very different. But our personalities are so different. But he had all these amazing connections in the church, and he had a great passion to reach out to the youth using the platform of sport. And that's exactly where our heart was as well. So it started with just a few churches. And I just am so blessed to know this brother. And I've learned so much from you, Faustins, and I'm so happy that you're here for these few weeks in the States. It's an honor to host you in our home, and you guys are really blessed to hear from him this morning. More than any person on earth, I trust this man, and I have learned so much from him. I've learned so much even in your home of how you lead your family in the Word every night, singing songs to Jesus, learning from his Word, praying with your family. Those are things that I've learned from you. And also your humble spirit and your quiet spirit is very different than mine, so I've learned a lot from you in that way. And I said in the first service, just James 1:19 he personifies James 1:19 with every person I met. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And sometimes you have to wait for a response, you have to wait a few seconds, but when you wait, it's worth it. So I encourage you even after the service to get up to try to talk to him, and it will be a blessing. So you've taught me how to be a good friend, and you've welcomed me and my family, and shown me what it means to welcome a stranger. And I just the kingdom impact that God has had through this man in Malawi. Many, many, many young people coming to Jesus through his leadership, which is completely submitted to Jesus and going on a leadership model that is very different than Malawi culture. We've been trying to just look at the New Testament and what does Jesus teach us about humility, servant leadership, which in Malawi is not the way that pastors usually roll. Usually it's everyone serves me, and Malawi is a different creature in that way by the grace of Jesus. Who is worthy?
Jesus!
Right. So I don't want to take any more time. Fossens, can you join me up here? Can you give him a round of applause? Yeah. So, okay, can you share with us a little bit about where you're from and your story?
I'm from southern part of Malawi, a place called Insanje. This place is like hell on earth. There are a number of things that people would call this place a hell on earth. Almost each and every year, this place is having a problem of floods. So you talk of like people losing their properties, losing lives, so many things. As well as this is also a place where you have lots of mosquitoes. Lots of mosquitoes. So if you have like lots of mosquitoes, then you talk of malaria. So many people also lost their lives through mosquitoes, malaria. Also, It's a very hot place. It's super hot, this place. So the life is difficult in this area. The people in this area, they rely upon agriculture, farming. So they don't even have enough to take them like the whole year, because this place is hot most of the time. Besides that, this place also is like in total darkness. People believe in so many things. People believe in what they call African traditional religion. Lots of witch doctors. Also, many young people, they are lost in this area. Even girls, many of them, they are prostitutes. Because they don't have like something that they can have. There is like poor kind of like integration, everything. So this is like a place which is more like hero on earth. But that's the place where I was born and raised up, and also God was shaping me for the ministry, especially reaching out to young people. So I am a husband of two.
Husband of two?
I'm husband of one wife. Okay, so my wife is Esna, and we are blessed with two daughters. The first one is Ruthie. She is 5, and the second one is Naomi. She is 2, and she will turn 3 this coming June. So you can imagine how the names are taken from one book, Ruth and Naomi. That's my family.
So share with us just about how God has called you into the ministry, that process.
Well, I felt like God was calling me into ministry when I was just like young, when I was in high school. But by then, my past life was like, I was kind of like admiring the life of this Rastafari. Then I was like smoking weed, but behavior was not right. I was not respecting people. So I was just like a ghost person. But one day, it happens that I attended one of the crusades, which was like happening in our area. Then from there, I heard that God speaking to me through a simple passage. Then I was kind of like convicted, and I surrendered my life to Christ. And I started following Christ as a born again person. So since then, my desire to know the Lord was kind of like increasing. And when I was finishing my high school, the desire was just so strong. And I had a passion, and my passion was strong to serve the Lord like full time. So I had to go to a Bible college. I went to a Bible college. When I finished there, I was sent by my denomination to the eastern region of Malawi, which is far away from a place. I'm from southern part of Malawi. So I was sent to another place, eastern region. So this eastern region is mostly dominated by Muslims. So if you are there, then you are in the midst of Muslim people. So that's the area where I went to plant a church. That was 2007. So 2010, I was, my denomination leaders write me a letter to ask me if I had another area of leading the youth ministry in the whole denomination. So I said, yes, that's my passion. That's where my heart is. So from there, then I was a National Denomination Youth Coordinator since 2010 up to 2013. So in this journey, 2011 is when I met the Voice. We teamed up very well and we started sports ministry there. But still I was waiting as a denomination youth coordinator. It's when 2013 I joined Sports Friends fully. So I've been involved in March in the Sports Friends. And in Malawi, we have so many young people, and it's a nation of like full of young people. So Malawi has got a population of 17 million, and 70 to 75% are young people and the youth. So sports ministry has been a great tool and an opportunity to reach out to these young people. And these young people are facing a number of challenges in life. They are lacking like good education, lack of employment. There is even things like lack of good clean water. People travel distances to get just a clean water. Like myself, I was also in an area because I had to move to the city. So sometimes I would call Luke when he was there, we don't have water here. So Luke was also living to another side, another township, almost like 30 minutes driving. So I say, we don't have water here. So sometimes we share with us water. But sometimes we live in travel to long distances to get water. So many times we want to get water, at least a clean one, a clean water, then should be like during night. Maybe 1 or 2 a.m. we have to wake up and go and look for water. So young people are facing a number of challenges, and they don't have like answers to those challenges. Yet the church is there, and they believe like the church has the ultimate hope and answer for these challenges. We have a team. This is the team, Sports Friends Malawi team. We are working together and we are reaching out to many local churches. We train churches, and the churches are having like a church-centered sports ministry, reaching out to young people, giving them hope, introducing them to Christ. So we are able to see God at work through those who are training coaches. So that team is not just one of that team. We have also some people who are not there, who also stand with us in prayer, supporting us in different ways. So I would like also to encourage you, if you can, to stand with us in prayer.
Okay, so you have a picture of what God has been doing at a big scale, and you got to know a little bit about Boston's story. I feel like before we turn it over to you to share the word, I just wanted you to, he told me a story yesterday at the dinner table, and I was like, I need to tell that to the church tomorrow, because that was amazing what God has done. So we trained this guy in 2016, this coach named Nazi Mera. He's a goofy guy. He's always cracking jokes. And sometimes, like, even we were, like, questioning his seriousness. We're like, who is this guy? You know, always, like, loving Jesus and saying good stuff, but he seemed a little bit immature. Anyhow, God has a plan. And he lives in a Muslim area of Malawi. And he ended up, we heard from his leadership that he had planted a church among all Muslims through sports ministry. That was September, October of last year. So I was like, oh, that's so exciting. And there was a number of people praising Jesus who were in darkness just, you know, not long ago last year. And so that was so encouraging. And then they had a match, a soccer match. He had his team from his newly planted church, and they were traveling about 4 miles to a different location that's all Muslim, and they were having a soccer game against another team in the community. And do you want to just share what happened there?
Yeah. So this coach, Nazmia, he has a team, the church center sports ministry. So they had a match with another village. So they had to move from his place to that side with his team. It's almost 5 to 6 kilometers. So when they got there, they had a match, they were playing. It happens that his team was leading 3-0. Then they had like a final whistle. Then the other team was really very angry because they lost, and they wanted like to start like fighting because they lost. And this young guy had to talk to his guys, to his team, say, "Hey guys, we don't need to fight here. Would you please just leave, go, and I will be behind. And I will talk to these guys who will sort of this peacefully." So his team had to leave the place, and he was like remaining behind himself, hoping to say he will talk to the leaders, and they will sort of the issue, they will be able to understand. But when he wanted to talk to these people, they were really angry. And they had this anger, and they started beating him. So they beat him, and the guy was hopeless, helpless, because he was just alone. And these people, many of them are Muslims. So they beat him there, but we thank God because someone in the group tried to rescue him, and from there he went back home. So after some time, like 3 days, one of the leader of this group that they were like fighting, I mean fighting this guy, thought of like following him because he couldn't really understand. He had to save his team. He was like behind alone, but they ended up like beating him, and he couldn't even do anything or fight him back. He was just like there, quiet. They beat him like that. So kind of like something comes into the mind of this person to say, I think I have to go and talk to this guy, at least to apologize. So this one is a leader of this group, but also is a leader of the Muslim, of Muslim people in that area. So he went to this guy. That was Sunday morning. He went and he asked where this guy Nazmera is. Then people said Nazmera is in the church. So he went even to the church. That is the this Muslim guy worshiped with the coach there at the church together. After the church service, they had to talk. And this guy said, but I'm here to apologize. We wronged you, we beat you, but there is something that impresses me, and I don't have like answer for this. Where are your friends? Because we couldn't see them when we were like beating you. So he said, yeah, my friend, we are like gone by then. I told them to go because there is no point for us to fight just because we are like leading or winning. For us, it's just about like making friendship. We are neighbors. You are brothers. We are in the very same community. So there is no point for us like to fight. So that's why I was there. I wanted like to talk and to sort this specifically. That in a game of football or soccer, there is this that one can win or lose. And we have to accept. So from there, this guy said, okay, so we did this, but you have to forgive us. He said, yeah, I have someone in me, and we have someone in us as a team. That's why we are able to control ourselves. That's why we are able to be calm, and we didn't even revenge or fight back or anything else. So I wanted to say to you, even that day, you guys, I've already forgiven you. I don't have like any grudge or bitterness towards you. So from there, the guy was like, he couldn't believe it, and he went back home. So he was kind of like over confused, because in the teaching of Islam is like, if someone did something wrong, you have to pay back. You have to pay back. So. Or you have to wait. So this guy was kind of like being preached by the behavior of his coach. So he thought of like surrendering his life to Christ. So he starts going, walking that 6 kilometers to the place where this coach is and worshiping together with this coach. So as he was doing that, one day he asked this coach to say, I want to tell you that those people who beat you, I'm the leader, and that's my team. Would you please mind to come and start coaching that team? So he said, but I have already my team here. Anyway, I'll be coming and helping you. So I have to plan my time wisely how I'll be able to do this. So he's just going there and meeting the very same people who beat him. And he starts like coaching them. And he was also praying for them, sometimes sharing the way with them. It's not easy just sharing the way to Muslims. But but sometimes he was able like to share them. Then these people were kind of like saying, some of them, we want to surrender our lives to Christ, and therefore they ask for the forgiveness what they did. So he said, no problem. Then this guy who was like converted a little bit way back, who was also a Muslim leader, and was also a leader of this team, asked him, say, hey, can we start worshiping here? Because it's like a distance for us to walk, to come to that side. And we have also some people here who are part of us. Can we start kind of like worshiping together here? And are you willing to come and try to teach, I mean, to be and teach us the will of God? He said, why not? I'll be coming. And I'll talk to my pastor also to send some people, maybe others, to come and help with teaching. So the church was established through that. Not because he opened the will of God, but because the way how he lives his life, the way how he demonstrates to them that the one who is in him is greater than the one who is in the world. And he showed them love and care. So now there is a church of almost 35 people in that place.
Who is worthy?
Jesus.
Who is worthy?
Jesus.
Amen. Boston's and I have learned the power of what it means and how the Holy Spirit moves. We just train people who want to be available to God to be used. People who maybe don't have tons of background in ministry, but people who want to be available, put themselves in tough situations like Coach Mazumera, who just talked about, step into the darkness and let their light shine before men. And we're seeing lots of people come to faith in Jesus through that simple model. And then they're the coach, so they're disciples. It's organic. The discipleship is happening. And they're starting to open up the scripture.
Just leave it down.
And we're seeing the Spirit of God do something amazing. I'm just grateful to be working with this brother. And just please be praying for him. And as you think about, prayer is a hymn for action, to pray. Please continue to pray. And then give financially to support God's work in Malawi. You guys have already done so much. We thank you for your continued partnership with us in the gospel. And then come. Matt did. He visited even in Sanji. He went down to Amir's home village and I was sick. No, I actually was sick. I'm awesome. But so these are just some ways that you can partner with us. Afterward, please talk to us, or if you have any questions, there's stuff out in the as you need. So I'm gonna pray for you, Boston, as you get into sharing your Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for your Spirit that has worked here in IL and in Malawi. We thank you that you care and that you bring your people together from different parts of the world. And this is a picture of Revelation chapter 7. We're going to be before your throne with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. So Jesus, help us. Help us to get a better picture of your kingdom through what Fossens is about to share with us now. And I pray that that even in conversations after this, that we would be deeply encouraged to be a light to our neighbors who don't know you, both here and in all nations. Lord, it's in the name we pray. Amen.
Okay, our scripture reading will come from the book of Matthew. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. Well, in Malawi, one of the ways, like, I will ask someone to read. So, one to do the same. I'll ask one of you to stand up and read for us. Or you can sit down or you can stand. But in my house, you will be. That's all right.
14 to 16. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it invites everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father.
Amen. So before I go into details of today's passage, I wanted to share with you my personal story. My father passed away when I was very young, almost 2 years. So I grew up with my grandparents in the village, way down south, the place I call in Sanje, which is like, you know, Panet. So in this village, we had no access to power or electricity. So life was like hard and tough comparing to other places. Most of the time, we'll go to bed early because we have no like light. And sometimes we can go to bed late if we have like a full moon. So kids will be out play and have some fun. So one night we had a total darkness and people went to bed early. They went to bed. So when I was about to sleep, but then I covered myself with the benches. When I was about to sleep, I felt something moving on my leg, going towards my legs. And the thing was long. And I couldn't even know exactly what it is. Because in the room itself was full of darkness. I couldn't see anything. No candle. No lights like this. Then I had to walk up slowly. Then I jumped and opened the door. Then I started screaming. My grandfather came and said, "Hey, what happened? What's wrong?" Then I explained. So even my grandfather had no torch. No candle, but not much. So we had to gather some dry grasses, set fire on it. We went into this room, and because of that light, we was able to see what is inside. So we found out that it's a snake, and it's there at the corner of the room. So it was a huge snake. But because he has this glass and with this light, it's not enough that he can start killing the snake and kill him. So the snake ran away from the room. The snake escaped. Then he said, "Well, it's a snake. The snake is gone. Go back and sleep." So I said, "Okay." Scared, but I had to go to sleep, so I went back to sleep. So I want to talk about the light and darkness. The passage that we have just read talks of the light. Verse 14 says that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. In God's plan, He made things that gives light during the day and the night. We have these heavenly bodies, sun, moon, stars. And sun gives us a light during the day. Moon and stars gives us a light during night. And these things are just enough in God's creation to give us light. And we all know the importance of light. You will be able to see clearly. You will be able to know where to sit because you have the light. So light is important. Light is important. That's why God in His wisdom and His plan, He made sun, moon, and stars. But in this passage, the light mentioned here is different. It's different from sun, moon, and the stars. It's a light different from the light you receive from moon, stars, and the sun. And here is a specific kind of light. And that light is you and me. That means we have another different darkness that doesn't need moon, stars, or sun, or power, candles. That darkness doesn't need such kind of lights. That darkness needs a special light. A special light, you and me. Us that we are here. Us that we know Christ. We believe in Him. We are the light. The light to people who are in darkness. Even though it's like a day like this, but such kind of people, they can walk in darkness. We can assume that they are able to see because we have this light. It's a day. Everyone is able to see. But that darkness is different. That darkness comes after the fall of man. That darkness comes just because of sin. And Christ is saying, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Just like my case, I was about to sleep with a snake because I couldn't see what is there in the room. Had it been that I had a torch, I had power in the room, I could see what is there. But I couldn't see anything. I just assumed. And I was confident enough to say, in this room, everything is okay. It's safe. But not knowing that there is something dangerous in that room. So we have people who are in a total darkness. People who are living in sin. People who don't know Christ. And some of them, they are dying without knowing Christ. Yet God is saying, you are the light to them. We have to shine to such people. We have to give our light. We have to shine to such people. So this is a specific kind of light. Soon we are in the season of Easter. We are in the Easter season. We are kind of like remembering the suffering, death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reason why He came. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 4 up to 5, talks of Jesus as the light came into this world. And this light is life. This light, meaning Jesus himself, is light, or so is life. And if Jesus himself is light, and is also telling us that we are also light, then we have to be willing to go into places where people are in darkness, people are in sin. We have to help them to come out of that darkness. That's our responsibility. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. And from the passage we read, talks of the light. That when you have the light, you don't cover it, but you put it on the lampstand, on the lampstand or candlestand. You put it there so that it can give its light, or it can shine in the whole house or room, so that people will be able to see. So we don't need to cover ourselves. Yes, we are Christians. Yes, we have light. But do we go into places and shine to the people as Christians? Do we go into such places? Or we are just like, it's okay with me. I'm saved. Christ saved me. It's fine with me. No, Christ wanted us to do something. Yes, we are saved. We are saved. But we have also to help others. We have to introduce them to Christ. We have to make sure that we are depopulating hell and populating heaven. We have to make sure that we are able to take our light and shine to those people. We are the light. Light to the whole world. And Jesus was a good example of this. And for Jesus to achieve this, for people to accept him, for people to receive this light, because you can have your light, and you can be willing to share with someone, but that person maybe doesn't want to receive your light, or to share with you. So, Jesus was a good example. Jesus had light, he had this light, and was a friend of sinners. Was a friend of sinners. He was close to the people who are in darkness, because he was able to be a good friend to these people who were regarded as less important in the community, who were regarded as outcasts, the tax collectors, people who were like seen as wrong, people who are like doing wrong things in the community. They steal money from other people. Jesus was a friend of such people. And he was giving his life, he was shining to such kind of people. And because he was close to them, and people were able to see this light, and this light were able to expose their own wrongdoings. And this light was pointing these people to repentance. People were able to repent because they were able to be convicted. They could even see themselves that I am on the wrong side. I need to change. I need to turn away from these wrongdoings. And they were able to turn back. And they were able to repent. And they were able to follow Jesus. So Jesus, what he wanted is someone somewhere else. Might be you and me. To say, here I am, Lord. Lord, use me, send me. I have this life, I have this way. I will be able to share with other people. I will be willing to go. And I will be a friend to those people who are like sinners. And I will share with them the love and your care that you need them. So we have to be willing to be friend of people who are in darkness. And also for us to achieve this, we need to be humble people. Humility. Humility. Because if we are humble, we will be able to be close to these people. Even if they are sinners, we will give them time to listen to their own stories. Because sometimes we are quick to judge. Yet we don't even understand why that person is in that situation. We will be able to listen so that we will be able to help that person well. So that we will be able to bring that person into God's kingdom. If it's like mission, if we go into mission, then also we will be able to save the people. Because what they want is not just opening the way and talk the way. No, no, they want also your own life. How do you live your own life? Because you are like a role model to them. You are like a mentor to them. They want to see how you live your own life. That light, how do you use that light? So they want also to see that. You will be able to wash their dirty smelling feet. That's humbleness. As you wash their dirty smelling feet, they will be able to see the light in you. They will be able to see the light. That's humbleness. So we have to be willing to be friends of sinners. We have also to be humble, so that we can be able to reach out to the people who are in darkness. We have to be willing to save. So, like in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 45, says, "For the Son of Man came not to be saved, but to save, and give his life as a ransom for many." We have to be willing to serve the people who are in darkness. Sometimes things become difficult with us because we want to be much holy, we want to be more holy. And we don't want to associate with ourselves with the sinners. So we need to be close to them. We need to be friends with the sinners, people who are in darkness. There is a great opportunity to save. There are many places that people are in darkness. Even my own place, even here, some people are in darkness. We have to be willing to give the light to them. This is a special darkness that needs a special light. You and me, we are the light to the people who are in darkness. So don't be willing to say, "Hey, here I am, Lord, save me, use me. I am am the light. I'm ready to give my light, the whole world to shine. Yes, it's possible. God can use you despite of your broken background or whatever. God can make you to be His own good vessel, good light that can bring many people into His kingdom. May the Lord help us. May the Holy Spirit continue speaking deep down to our hearts to be the light that will be able to shine to the people who are surrounding us, the people who are with us. They will be able to see that light. They will be able to see Christ in us, just as Fortuna's mayor did. People are able to see Christ in him. And then that was a message itself, a clear message to the people. And people were able to come to Christ. And people were plugged into the body of Christ. And now they are worshiping together with us in the body of Christ. Just the way how he lived his own life. And say, God fearing person as a person with the light. If the question has been updated, you can do it also. I can, we can. We just need to accept, to say, here I am, Lord, use me. May the Lord bless us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to give you glory and honor. Thank you for your way. Your way is always a spiritual nourishment food for our lives. May you continue, Lord, speaking deep down in our hearts. And may you, Lord, Father, help us to respond as well as to give ourselves to your ministry, to your mission, so that we will be part of the Great Commission. We will be able to help people to come into your kingdom. We will be able to help people to come out of darkness. I pray that Lord, Father, help us all. And you can use anyone in this room to do this job, to do this ministry. And we are here, O Lord, Father, because of you. And may you, Lord, just empower and encourage us that, Lord, we can do it. And through you, Lord, we can do anything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.